Okay, I'm going to ask a question that will reveal somewhat your age today. How many of you grew up with one of these? Now, wait, before you respond, this is not just a desk phone. This is a rotary dial phone. How many of you grew up with rotary dials? Okay, there's a lot of people here. There are a lot of people who don't know what that is. And they're not. You don't see a whole lot of rotary phones around anymore unless they're a collectible item. So another thing, how many of you grew up before caller ID? Now, some of you kids have no idea what I'm talking about because your phone has it already built in. Caller ID came along, and when it finally got here, the world said, why did it take so long? For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there used to be a time you actually had to answer the phone to know whether or not you wanted to talk to the person. And once you said hello, it was too late. And so it was a hassle. You had to pick up the phone. Now, I know that you could, and some people did, simply not answer the phone just in case it was Aunt Hepzibah or whatever. And so, but if you were like me, when you didn't answer the phone, there's a little voice at the back of your head saying, you should have answered it. It might have been Ed McMahon and saying, you've won the sweepstakes. It was a hassle, and we didn't like that. And so now, with our modern phones, they will, very often, they will tell you who they are. They may tell you unknown, and if you're wise, you probably immediately cancel that call. There are just so many things, but you know who's calling. The reason I bring this up, there's been a call that's been going out for centuries. Really, as long as human beings have existed, this has been calling out to them, and it is wisdom calling. Now, I would love to say everybody has responded yes to the call of wisdom in their lives. But you live in the world I live in, and you know that isn't true. You know that there are people who are constantly making decisions that impact not only themselves, but have an impact on everybody else in a negative sense. But this call to wisdom is a call of warning. And the idea that God would warn people before they found themselves in a dangerous situation, again, occurs throughout the Word of God. He constantly calls out to Israel. He raises prophets up in Israel. He raises in Judah some godly kings to help lead the way. But there is a call, and it says, danger is headed. And we meet this call for the first time in Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 33. And again, this is written, just a couple things as we look at wisdom here today. Wisdom is personified. That means it's treated as a person. In fact, in the book, it's a she, a lady wisdom, Dame Wisdom, she has been called. And she is calling out, and this call goes out with the authority of God. She is God's agent trying to reach humanity. So let's see what she has to say. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I will in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, and when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety, and he will be at ease without fear of harm. In this text, Solomon was writing and telling his readers, rejecting the call of God's wisdom is a very dangerous thing. When you decide, I don't need God's wisdom, you have put yourself in a very precarious place. We need to understand it is simply not safe to reject God and His wisdom. Now, there are those who live that way all their lives. There are people who say, I don't have any need for God. I will not follow God. I will not acknowledge God. And they live out life, and very often, as we watch, it seems like they're no worse off. The psalmist said, I had almost fallen when I considered the way of the unrighteous because they prospered in their ungodliness. The whole thing. So we look and we wonder. But I want you to understand and I want you to grab hold of this. We don't always see what God is doing in individual hearts. We don't always see how it plays out. But there are consequences. Those consequences will come, and they will claim when and if we simply say, I don't want to listen. So today we're going to take a look at those consequences. When we reject the call of wisdom in our lives, what can we expect? Well, to reject wisdom's call is, first of all, to make a foolish decision. This is very clear. The psalmist doesn't hedge on this. He lets us know this is foolishness, a terrible decision. You see, wisdom was calling out openly. And it's been pointed out that there's some real contrast between wisdom and foolishness, because occasionally foolishness is personified as well. Foolishness comes and speaks to you in the dark. Foolishness comes and whispers in your ear, come and follow the path. Foolishness seduces you into actions with promises of joy and happiness and fulfillment. But what she offers are those things which should best be done in the dark. Wisdom comes. And did you notice? She is going everywhere people are and calling out. In the street, in the noisy streets, in the gateway. In Israel's day, the gateway was where judgments were made. People made decisions on their lives. Everywhere she's calling out, and she's not hiding. This isn't a game. She calls out, listen to me. The motivation becomes very clear that there's a contrast as well. Foolishness wants to destroy your life. Foolishness wants to take everything that is good and true in who you are and absolutely demolish it. Wisdom is wanting you to find the best life possible. Wisdom is calling you to be that follower of God who lives the truly successful life. And the sad truth is the vast majority of mankind seems to take foolish calls every day. We need to understand this is an open call of God. Wisdom comes and calls without any hesitation. Wisdom comes not to confuse, not to cause you uncertainty. But this is God's call in your life, an open call. Come walk the ways of the Lord. This is so crucial and so important for us to get. Wisdom reaches out. Now, with this open call in our lives, we have a choice. Do we follow or not? Well, to ignore such a love, to ignore such so great a mercy that God is offering, so wonderful a wisdom, is foolishness at its worst. If I say, I don't care what you want from me, you who created me, God, you whose wisdom is calling out to me now, I'm going to choose to walk away. And there is a progression of foolishness in this passage. We begin with the simple. And it means those who are naive and young. Simple is a word for fool in the book of Proverbs that just says, you don't know enough about life to make the right decisions. I forgot how many years ago. It's been close to 30 years ago. I listened to the results of a test that had been done. And it said that that part of your brain that says, maybe I shouldn't do this, is not fully developed into your mid-20s. And so if you go online and you watch YouTube videos of kids doing crazy stuff, and you're asking, what were they thinking? They weren't. They are simple. He says, how long will you love your simple ways? But then he talks about the mockers. Mockers that scorn what is true and good. This is an actual advert from AmericanAtheists.org. Christianity, they talk about it and say, we serve a sadistic God and a useless Savior. We have 30,000 versions of truth. We promote hate and call it love. And they define themselves as atheists, simply reasonable. And so they look and they mock and they ridicule and they say, if you're a thinking person, surely you couldn't be a person of faith. There's a greater degree of guilt here. Robert Alden, many years ago, made one of the best statements I've ever heard about mockers and this problem. He says that within mockers, basically, it takes a willingness to become a scorner, whereas one can be a fool without trying. If you're a mocker, you are intentionally going against that which is of God. And then the word fool. This is the person. How long, fools, will you hate knowledge? This may be the worst of all because these have heard the truth, they've acknowledged that it is the truth, and they hate it because it restrains them. And the thing about it, if unchecked, the simple will eventually become the mocker. And the mocker will eventually become the fool. And so the writer is telling us to ignore this love, this mercy, this incredible wisdom, this foolishness at its very worst. Because simple, mocker, and fool are all guilty before God. Even though the simple may grow out of their foolishness, they're all guilty before God because they have consistently ignored God, the wisdom's call. Did you catch how long are you going to keep in your ways? If you had listened to me, if you had heard, if you had embraced my rebuke, and wisdom is saying, I've been calling out to you for a lifetime, and you continually walk away. This is foolishness, it's worse. People need an ever-growing hunger for God's wisdom. Let me put this to you. You have people in your life. Some of them are family. Some of them are friends. Some of them are co-workers or neighbors. But there are people in your lives who have said, I don't need God. Some of them may have just said it that flat out, straightforward, I don't need God. Others, by the lifestyles they've chosen, by the directions they've gone, have said, we don't need God. I'm telling you, until they know the hunger for God's wisdom, they won't come. Pray for them. Pray that God stirs up within them an unease. Pray that God will stir up in their hearts a sense there's something not right. There's something that's missing in my life. And create in them, oh God, a hunger so that they do not continually make the decision to walk away. And folks, let's be honest. Even as followers of Christ, we need a hunger for God's wisdom. Because I think it's even possible for a child of God to ignore the Father's call. And it is a dangerous thing to do. If wisdom comes and calls, and she is, to reject her call is foolishness. The second consequence nails it out a little bit further. To reject wisdom's call is to risk judgment. To reject wisdom's call is to risk judgment. You see, wisdom declared that when the time of judgment came, the foolish had no one to blame but themselves. You were the ones who did not listen. And this is a really rough passage of Scripture. This is, as I was reading it, if you've not read this in a while or you've never heard it, there was a dis-ease put in your life. This is some strong stuff. But what it is picturing is simple, retributive justice. You've done something bad, and now you will pay the consequence. She says, you will eat the fruit of your labors of foolishness, of your schemes. The New Testament reflects this kind of idea in the writings of Paul. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul wrote a very stern passage, "Do not be deceived. God is not, cannot ever be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and the one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." You reap what you sow. It is a principle that is biblical. It is a principle that we see lived out every day in this real, honest world. And wisdom declares the guilt of these people. They've rejected God not just because they're guilty, not because of active sin. They're already guilty because they've chosen not to listen. The 1800s, Alexander McLaren, a great Baptist preacher, basically said, you don't have to do a horrible sin to miss God in your life. When God reaches out to you, you don't have to slap his hand down. All you have to do is hold your hands to your side and just not receive it. And so there's a danger here that we need to come. And there comes a point in time when it's too late to call out to wisdom, when it's too late to avoid judgment. Again, this is a terribly tough passage of Scripture to deal with. Verse 26 is one of the most unsettling verses of Scripture in the Old Testament. Listen, once again. She says in 25, you've ignored all my advice. You would not accept my rebuke. I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. 27, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. That disturbs us. It hurts us to hear that, doesn't it? Wisdom, God's wisdom laughing. Now, keep in mind, this is a poetic device. Wisdom is not really a lady. She's personified. And I don't think this is laughter in the sense, you mocked me, I'll mock you. I think it's something a little bit different. I think we see it in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 2 starts off, why do heathen people think they can throw God off? That's a paraphrase. But why do they rant and rave against God? Why do they devise all sorts of schemes? And then they're told, well, the one who sits in heaven laughs. You've done something so crazy. It's not, ha ha, that's funny. It's aha, how can you be so crazy? Why don't you take a look? You already are trying to figure out this picture. That is David Villalobos, a real live, honest-to-goodness person. At the time this photograph was taken, he was 25-year-old real estate in New York. He went to the Bronx Zoo. If you see that brown band that cuts across, that's the monorail. Villalobos loved tigers. His Facebook page was filled with pictures of tigers. And riding on the monorail, in spite of the fact, every zoo on earth that is responsible has signs like, don't feed the animals. Don't play with the animals. Warnings all over the Bronx Zoo. Villalobos jumped out of the monorail into the tiger's environment. About a 20-foot drop, he broke his pelvis, he broke a leg, he wound up with lacerations, his lung was punched when the tiger took one nibble and the tooth punctured. And thankfully, those white figures in the middle, those are the zookeepers who got there in time to keep him from getting killed. The tiger took a bite and got bored and walked off, and they got there to rescue him. The first time I heard this story, I wondered if the moment he jumped, his brain said, this wasn't a good idea. As he, just the fall itself could have killed him, paralyzed him. As he's leaving, as he's turning, trying to grab the car again, he fell. And when they asked him, I would not make this up, why did you do this? He first clarified, I was not trying to kill myself. And then he basically said, it was a spiritual thing that you just can't understand. He wanted to be one with the tiger. Now, when charges are initially brought, he pleads not guilty to criminal trespass. A year later, he finally pleads guilty in a weird plea agreement. The judge said, okay, I'll take your plea and you won't have to do time, but you got to spend a year in a mental facility. And do you know what his response is even a year later? This could be something really good. I could write a book. And in our culture, people would buy it. There comes a point when the rules that are laid out get ignored. All of a sudden saying, I wish I hadn't done it, didn't work. I've told you before, I knew how far I could push my mom growing up. I knew exactly the line it was to pull back. And generally it was when she used both names. Danny Fred, I know I need to get back. If all three names were gone, it was too late. Punishment was going to be enacted. I talked to Mom day before yesterday, and Dad was out at the facility, and he says, you want to talk? Here, talk to your mom. And my mom gets on the phone and says, Danny, Fred, Nance! And I said, Mom, you scared me. All of a sudden, I flashed back 40 years. I am in trouble now. The Word of God is saying here, there is a point, it's just too late. Now, none of us know where that is. We're with God the way I was with my dad. I never could figure out where the point of no return was with Dad. He kept me guessing my entire life. I don't know when that point of no return hits with the Lord. But I do know that the Scripture tells us this principle, people must respond to the call of wisdom immediately so that they do not face the judgment of God. I don't know how many times people have told me over and over and over again, I'll repent later. I'll get right with God down the road, but right now, I'm having too much fun. right now, so leave me alone. I want you to understand something. Every time someone says no to the Lord, it becomes harder to say yes. That's even his children. When we ignore him and we move away from him, sometimes we just get to the point where we don't want to listen anymore, and God's hand of judgment, in our case, discipline, falls. I'm asking you to pray for those people you know, family members, friends, loved ones, neighbors. Pray for those folks who have said in their lives, I don't need God, I don't need his direction. Pray, Holy God, may your Spirit convict them in a powerful way. Help them understand how precarious, dangerous position they're placing themselves. Because sooner or later, God, judgment comes. And this is for us as well. When God is dealing with your heart, the absolute best advice I can give you is listen and say, yes, Lord, right now. Not wait a little while. Right now, Lord, let me become what you want me to be. Then our final consequence to reject wisdom's call is to miss God's blessing. Absolutely to miss God's blessing. And this is a reality that we need to face and we need to get hold of. All hope of security and peace were taken from those who rejected God's call. They had been living a life, they had been sowing fruit into their hearts, they had been trying to make a meaningful life for themselves, and it's all phony. It's all untrue. And we need to understand that God is saying to us in this text, there comes a point all of the different things that people rely on to give them life and meaning will be stripped away. And they will find how empty and meaningless it is. It's like we were when Katrina hit. In a matter of moments, every modern technology we've built our lives around were taken from us. These people have chosen to walk away from God. These people have decided they don't want him. And whatever prosperity they thought they had, rather than true security, was a lie. I want you to take a look at the car up there. That's pretty rough looking, isn't it? Now imagine this man is lying on the ER table. He has broken and twisted bones, horrible lacerations, and he looks at the doctor and says, give me something that will knock me out, and then leave me alone. All I want to do is sleep. Just leave me alone, and I will be okay. Nobody in their right mind would do that, would they? You need to get the bones set. You need to get the wounds treated and sutured. You need to be put in a place where you can have healing. But a vast part of the world is saying, I'm beaten and I'm wounded and I'm crippled, but I don't need your help, God. I can do this on my own. And it's foolishness. And it's dangerous. And they're trusting in things that cannot give them life. All I need is a hit of something to make me happy. All I need is the Powerball to come through, and my life will be set forever. All I need is, and God is saying, what you need is me. I'll give you an update on the guy who was driving that car, so you will know what happened to him. He wound up with 3 cuts on his right hand. That was my car. In 2000, coming home from the hospital to see somebody in a downpour, I had a blowout. And I went rolling. The tree there with the skin, it actually opened that door for me. It was very kind to help me out. And thankfully, I had opportunity. I did not pray, oh, Heavenly Father, thou who hast created the heavens and the earth, You who sustain us and give us life to the very end. I prayed, Lord, help me. And I never lost consciousness. They thought the car was going to catch on fire, so they had me wiggle my toes and fingers and got me out of the car. And a little 10-year-old girl walked up to me. Her daddy was one of the first people there. Both guys there were trained first responders. She looked at me with eyes the size of a half-dollar coin and said, Mister, I'm praying for you. I said, keep it up. God did for me something amazing that day. Which ultimately, that's how you guys got stuck with me. Fools who reject the call of God's blessing simply cannot experience the fullness of God's blessing. If you reject God's wisdom, you cannot have the fullness. Now, that doesn't say God doesn't do stuff, that God doesn't bring some form of blessing into the lives of even those who rant and rave at them. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, dealt with this issue. He was telling his disciples how they needed to treat those that were unkind and hateful. And he said of his Father, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 45b. He's saying God gives blessings to people. But it's not all that he wants to pour out. If you are shaking your fist in the face of God, metaphorically, or you're actually doing it out on a hill somewhere, you cannot open your heart to receive what he's wanting to give you. The reality is there are people who are so caught up in their life, they just don't want to serve God and they will not receive from God. Albert Barnes. But when wisdom called the fools to turn, they turned, but it was away from her. And I'm praying that their faces and their names floating through your mind right now, people who are fighting God, who have turned their back, and you need to be praying for them and trust that God will reach into their lives as he deems fit, but pray for these people as the Word of God encourages us to. And pray, because when they run away from wisdom, they run away from everything God wants to pour into lives. Those who heed the call of wisdom will receive the blessing of God that brings fulfillment. All of a sudden, with all of this woe, with all of this pain, there's a word of hope. The people who did listen to me, the people who do listen to me, they will receive blessings from God. They will receive life. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. When folks turn, when they listen, when they hear, before that point of no return, wisdom says they will know true security, real safety. The amazing thing for me about that wreck that I was in, God was with me and brought me through out alive. But if I died in that wreck, God would still have been with me. And it would have moved me to a whole new realm of existence. And I believe with all my heart, had I not survived that wreck, God would have ministered to my wife and my child. We know true safety because we're in the hands of God. We will know true peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that goes beyond what the world can ever comprehend or achieve. And with having listened to God, we can be free from the crippling power of fear. Wisdom's calling. Right here, right now, there are people that God is speaking to in this room. And he is saying things like, you're doing well, but I need you to surrender this area of your life. I know your heart. I know that you want to follow me, and I also know you're just holding on a little too much. There may be someone here today that you have been in worship and searches throughout most of your life, and yet you have never yielded your life into my hands. God is speaking. The question is, will we answer? Are we going to listen to God, who has warned us, if you don't listen, it's foolishness. If you don't listen, judgment, discipline is on the way. If you don't listen, I cannot be to you all that I want to be. So today, will you say, Lord, help me? Let me yield myself to you right here, right now. And will you create in me such a burden for those people in my sphere of influence who don't know you? Help me simply to pray as hard as I ever have and to share with them the truth as I can. Don't let me be indifferent to their hurt. Pray with me. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you that you just, Father, your call goes out and we respond. Don't let us walk out of here thinking, oh, I wish so-and-so should have heard this. Speak to our hearts. Let your wisdom challenge our lives. And let us say yes to you. Let us be among those who hear and respond. In Jesus' name.